We've been looking at the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be able to gain a little insight into them so that we can apply them to our lives. As per the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he said, تَخَلُّكُوا بِأَخْلَاقِ اللَّهِ, adopt in yourself the akhlaq of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We've also looked at the ayah of Quran throughout this series, ayah 110 of Surah Bani Israel, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, قُلْ اَدْءُ اللَّهَ عَوِدُ الرَّحْمَنِ أَيَّامًا تَدْءُ فَلَهُ الْأَسْمَاءُ الْحُسْنَى. Say, O Muhammad, call upon Allah or call upon the Rahman, whichever you call upon, he has the best of names. And today we will look at one of the most amazing Asma'ul Husna, and that's attribute number 93, which is An-Nur. Translated maybe as the light. Before we look at the Quranic reference, and in particular I'd like to look at Ayat An-Nur, which is ayah number 35 of Surah An-Nur, which is surah number 24. The light, in other words, An-Nur, is that attribute of Allah of being visible by means of which everything is made visible. Now, that which itself is visible and makes other things visible is in essence called light. When existence is contrasted with non-existence, then it becomes obvious that visibility pertains to that which exists, and that there is no darkness darker than non-existence. Now, that which is free of darkness, that which is free of the darkness of non-existence, and even from the possibility of ever being non-existence, and that which brings everything from non-existence or from the darkness of non-existence to the visibility of existence, is worthy of being called An-Nur, or the light. Existence in essence is a light which flows freely upon all things, and it comes from the light of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's essence. And just as he says in Ayat An-Nur, Allahu Nuru Samawati wal Ard, therefore Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the light of the heavens and the earth. Just as there is not a particle of light, of the light of the sun, which does not point to the existence of the illuminating sun, so also there is not a particle of all things that exist in the heavens and the earth, and that which is between them, which does not, by the mere possibility of its existence, point to the existence of the Creator. Linguistically, in language, nur is light, whatever its glow, rays or reflection may be. It aids vision. Now there's two kinds of light. A light related to the life of this world, and a light related to the life hereafter. The first is also of two types. Let's call it the secular light. That's of two types. One is what the mind, the intellect can see, which we call divine light, the light of reason of the Holy Quran, and the other is related to the physical one, that of things which emit or reflect light, such as the sun and the moon. An example of the divine light is implied in the Quran in Surah Al-Ma'idah, ayah number 15, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, قَدْ جَاءَكُمْ مِنَ اللَّهِ نُورٌ وَقِتَابٌ مُبِينٌ. There has come to you light and a clear book from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If we look at the physical light, then there are many references, but let's look at a reference from Surah Yunus, which is Surah number 10, and in Ayah 5, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, هُوَ الَّذِي جَعَلَ الشَّمْسَ ضِيَاءً وَالْكَمَرَ نُورًا. It is He who has made the sun a shining brightness and the moon a light, in other words, a reflection of that brightness. Now, here the sun is mentioned before the moon because its light is more commonly associated with what we can see than the moon. There are more than 40 references to light in the text of the Quran, And many, many ulama are of the view that this attribute is an ism-e a'zam, one of the greatest names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because they say that they cannot see anything in existence without seeing the meaning of this attribute manifested in it. Now let's look at Ayatul Nur and see if we can understand it, and then look at some more aspects about light. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Allahu Nuru as-Samawati wal-Ard. Allah is the light of the heavens and the earth. Mathalu nurihi kamishqatin fiha misbah. A likeness of his light is as a niche in which there is a lamp. Some Mufassireen say the niche for the lamp in the wall symbolizes the sensory self, for its light comes through several places like the eyes, the ears, the nostrils, and so on. Let's look at the second aspect of this verse, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continues to say, Al-misbahu fi zujaja. The lamp is in a glass. Now here, the Mufassireen say that that talks about the imaginative aspect of the self, because it has three characteristics. First, its images consist of aspects of the material world, because its images have definite and limited size, shape and dimension, and are related to the subject in respect of distance. One of the properties of a material substance, which has physical properties, is to be opaque to the light of the pure intellect, which transcends these categories of direction, quantity and distance. Secondly, if that substance is clarified, if it's refined, if it's controlled, it attains to a correspondence with and a similarity to the ideas of the intellect, and therefore becomes transparent to light from them. Thirdly, imagination is at first very much needed in order that intelligent knowledge may be controlled by it, so that the knowledge is not disturbed or unsettled, so to be able to get out of hand. And the images supplied by the imagination hold together the knowledge supplied by the intellect. If we look at our everyday experiences, the sole object in which we find these three peculiarities in relation to physical light is glass, because glass also is originally opaque, but it is clarified and refined until it becomes transparent to the light of a lamp, so that its transmission is unaltered. Again, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will continue to say, we will see that the glass keeps the lamp from going out by a breeze of wind. So what could more appropriately symbolize imagination than a glass? Now the ayah continues, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَزُّجَاجَةُ كَأَنَّهَا كَوْكَبٌ ضُرِّيٌ يُوْقَدُ مِنْ شَجَرَةٍ مُبَارَكَةٍ زَيْتُونَةٍ لَا شَرْقِيَةٍ وَلَا غَرْبِيَةٍ يَقَادُ زَيْتُهَا يُذِيءُ وَلَوْ لَمْ تَمْسَصْهُ نَارٍ. The glass is as it were a brightly shining star. It's lit from a blessed olive tree, which is neither from the east nor the west, whose oil will shine even if no fire has touched it. Now, the glittering star is the intellective function of the mind. The blessed tree is the reason function of the mind. And the intuition is where, even though fire has not touched it, this oil will be able to light. Now let's look at these aspects before we go any further. See, intellect is that which gives light to divine ideas. And the point of the symbolism is obvious, because it's the light giving of the lamp. As for the reason, it is to begin from one proposition, then to branch out into two, when two becomes four, and so on, until by a process of logical division they become numerous, just like a tree. So the symbol which their world yields for this is a tree. And if you further then consider it about the fruit, then we can't typify it with things like quince or apple or pomegranate, but the olive, because the olive Its oil is the material which feeds the lamp and has this peculiarity against all other oils that it increases radiance. And intuition is possessed by those like the Prophet ﷺ and his progeny, where it is their intuition is absolutely luminous and clear. See, it is independent of any external source of supply. It is self-luminous. The ayah continues, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Nurun ala nur, light upon light. It explains the words as existence is a graded succession of lights. And finally, يَحْدِ اللَّهُ لِنُورِهِ مَنْ يَشَاءُ, Allah guides to His light whom He pleases. وَيَضْرِبُ اللَّهُ الْأَمْثَالَ لِلنَّاسِ وَاللَّهُ بِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ عَلِيمٌ. And Allah sets forth this example, this parable for human beings, and Allah is aware, Allah knows all things. Now let's look at another explanation, which maybe puts it all in a bit of a nutshell, and an easier explanation as such. This one is by Ibn Abbas, and he says that the meaning of this ayah is that when Allah says, Allahu nuru samawati wal ard, then Allah is the guide of the residents of the heavens and the earth. And the similitude of His guidance in the heart of a believer is like pure oil which shines even before fire touches it. Therefore, when fire does touch it, it intensifies its light. So it intensifies and adds light to its light. And An-Nur is indicative of the fact that Allah is the light of the heavens and the earth, the guidance of the heavens and the earth. Well, let's just try and understand light, guidance, existence, in particular our existence. And I'd like to take this a little bit further so we're and elaborate on it. See, our existence, when we say we exist, if you were to say, who am I? I is not this physical body, it is the soul, and the soul is not physical. Yet it's the force field of our whole being. Our higher self is not physical, yet it's the living template of ourselves. It is us in essence. The experience of intuition, it cannot be explained in terms of the five senses, because it's the voice of a non-physical word. Therefore, it's not possible to understand our nafs or our intuition without coming to terms with the existence of this non-physical reality as such. So what is this non-physical reality? That's our home. That's where we come from. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Indeed, we are from Allah, and to Him we will return. Now, the larger part of us, each of us, currently resides, evolves in a non-physical reality. The same is true for all the billions of human beings upon this planet. Therefore, by extension, the majority of our interactions with other human beings occur in a different reality than the physical, a different existence. For example, if you thought loving thoughts of someone who is close to you emotionally, such as a family member, then you shift the quality of your consciousness, and this directly contributes to his or her energy system. How does this happen? It is because you and I are an energy system of light, of nur, as are all beings. The frequency of our nur, of our light, depends on our consciousness. When we shift the level of our consciousness, then we shift the frequency of our light. Let me give you an example. If I choose to forgive someone who has wronged me, rather than to hate that person, then I have shifted the frequency of my light to a higher frequency. Same thing if I feel affection with a person rather than distance or coldness. You see, Our emotions are currents of energy with different frequencies. Emotions that we think of as negative, such as hatred, envy, fear, they have low light frequencies and less energy than emotions that we think of as positive, such as affection or love or compassion. When you replace a lower frequency current of energy, such as anger, with a higher frequency current, such as forgiveness, then you raise the frequency of your nur, of your light. When a person is despairing or anxious, we feel depleted because there is a energy current of low frequency. And you find this person becomes heavy, dull, whereby somebody who is happy has got lots of energy, feels like they've got so much strength because he or she is running a high frequency current of energy, light energy, through his or her system. And now, with these emotions, different thoughts create different emotions. If you have thoughts of vengeance and violence and greed, or thoughts of using others, then it are these that create emotions of anger, hatred, jealousy and fear. Creating or loving thoughts invoke a high frequency emotion. And that's basically what humanity is about. Thinking of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we talked about dhikrullah. Dhikrullah raises the level of frequency of light within us. Dhikr shaitan, thinking of shaitan, and therefore all these thoughts that I've mentioned, the negative thoughts, obviously pulls energy down. It pulls the energy from a high frequency system, putting you down. And if we're unaware of our emotions and our thoughts, then our frequency will be lowered. We will lose energy to a system of low frequency than our own. And that's why we say that a depressed person is draining, or we say somebody who's angry is black in rage, they're dark, you know. And light is associated, obviously, with those who are happy, with a feeling of goodness and righteousness, because it represents consciousness. When we don't understand something, we even say that we must bring it to light. If we're confused, we say that our process needs more light. When a sudden idea reorders our thoughts, we say that it's just as though a light came on. When a human being is perfectly conscious of he or himself or herself, just as the Prophet said, مَنْ عَرَفَ نَفْسَهُ فَقَدْ عَرَفَ رَبَّهُ. He who has recognized himself or herself has recognized his or her Rabb. We say that he or she is enlightened. See, we must understand light in this way. Physical light is not the light of our nafs, because physical light travels at a certain velocity. It can't go faster. The light of our nafs is instantaneous. There is no time between a friend's loving intention towards his or her friend, and the soul of her friend or his friend understands that intention. Instantaneous. It's very much a part of our lives. The decisions we make in terms of how to choose our energy have effects that are instantaneous. They are one with who and what you and I are. In the place that you and I sit, even right now, there are many different beings, each active and evolving in their own realities and in their own ways. In their own ways, rather. And these realities co-mingle with ourselves, and their light radiation exists alongside us, and it's undetectable to the human eye. And therefore we're told, be with those whose light energy is that which raises you. That is why we stay with those who are attached to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is why we feel so spiritually elevated when we are with those, even if we're not doing anything, but we're with those who are attached to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is why it is ibadah, just to sit with an alim, just to sit with someone who is God conscious. Because a little bit of that energy radiates to us, and it inspires us, it sparks us off to be able to do the same. There is so much I'd like to talk about light. Inshallah, we will continue on the discussion of light at other points within these radio programs. So Abdu'l-Nur basically is one who has in essence received and understood the blessing of the response of the dua of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam when he said, Ya Rabbi, render me light. And basically one who has come to know the secret of Ayatul Nur, Allahu Nuru Samawati wal Ard. Continually read it. In other words, you know that all existence, all knowledge, all thoughts, all feelings come from that light. And that all existence and knowledge in the universe are nothing but that light. If you find your heart sad or darkened with doubt, recite Surah An-Nur, Surah number 24, 7 times, and then recite Ya Nur 1,000 times, and you'll find your doubts eliminated, and your hearts will feel enlightened, inshallah. If you ever get lost, or you've lost your way, recite this Ism 256 times, and inshallah, you will find your way.